Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We give you education and information on senior care topics. My name is Ryan McInniff, and I am here with Janet. Janet, how are you?
I am great, Ryan.
Janet, I mean, we're going to be talking about today the four different types of in-home help. And there are multiple different types of in-home help that can be provided for people, ranging from lower cost end all the way up to extraordinarily expensive and high-end cost. But there are four general types of help that you can get when it comes to getting help and assistance in your home for your parents when they might be declining a little bit and need some extra help. And the first kind is companions, kind of the basic start of needing some help. And basically, I'll let Janet speak a little bit about this, but companions are there to do things that are general wellness, but they shouldn't be getting into personal care. They shouldn't be getting into the side of the intimate side of providing care for somebody. So, Janet, what are your kind of thoughts with companions?
Yeah, I think the personal care is a good distinction in that someone, and we've talked in previous podcasts, people with falls or fear of falling, they may actually be pretty independent, but they live alone and maybe someone needs to just be in the house while they safely take a shower or whatever, mm-hmm. or they want someone, most common, to take them to the grocery store or to appointments, mm-hmm. or even just helping out with some things. Maybe they really liked to cook, but they can't do the whole thing themselves, and it's almost like a joint effort, and the companion's like a sous chef. Or takes them out to the library or goes for a ride. And we have a couple people now that are really psyched because it's warm weather and Dairy Joy is going to be open. So they can go for that hot dog and that ice cream. And these are people that have experience in dealing with the elder population in terms of things like someone's hearing may not be that great, their vision may not be that great, but they are attentive to that. It's not just like we go out with our friends and we're walking down the street and we're not necessarily paying attention, yep. to what they're doing. So it's that kind of a thing. And they will make observations that if they see someone is developing some kind of an issue, you know, they report that back.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, you're dealing, very rarely does anybody call us up, and I'm guessing nobody, because of the cost involved, that says, well, my mom's lonely and I just want somebody to sit with her and read and play checkers or chess or whatever it is. But you're dealing with the components of some general wellness, like you mentioned, meal preparation, making sure the house is tidy, making sure that laundry and linens are getting cleaned on a regular basis and putting back, and having eyes and ears on somebody. So, you know, a perfect example is that if you live in New York City and your mom, you know, lives up in the Boston area and you're not available all the time to go make sure everything's okay, but you like to make, you know, your nightly call to her or whatever it is, you have somebody go in there 3 or 4 times a week for a few hours a day to do the laundry, to do the upkeep on things, get the mail, take out the garbage, those basic kind of tasks that we take for granted. And then also you get a little bit of socialization involved with it as well, where somebody's around for 3, 4, 5 hours a day, 2 to 4 times a week, that, you know, the friends coming over, that they enjoy each other, and making sure that mom is safe while also getting some socialization and making sure that the house is still up to snuff and tasks are getting done. That's perfect for a companion to do. Another area is the big one is the transportation.
Yep.
Escorting somebody out, whether it's to medical appointments or whether it's to chores or getting their hair done or whatever it might be.
Or to church. Yep.
So that's kind of where your companions will be for that. So the second type of aid that you would have would be a home health aid. And a home health aid is specifically specifically in private home care companies like Minute Women. And you were in assisted living. Are home health aides allowed in assisted livings, or do they have to be CNAs?
They have to be CNAs.
They have to be CNAs, which I don't really understand that way. That makes a whole lot of sense, but that's fine. They have to be CNAs. So, and I'll explain the difference between home health aides and CNAs. But home health aides basically are individuals that have gone through training. I believe it's 75 hours of training. In this area, Red Cross does a lot of them, but there are also for-profit training centers that will train people into being home health aides. It costs a few thousand dollars to go to, and after 75 hours, you get your certificate for being a home health aide. And that allows you to specifically work for private home care agencies like Minute Women Home Care and all the other ones that are across the area from, you know, coast to coast. And so a home health aide, you know, is going to be different from a companion because of
personal care.
Personal care. So why don't you go into kind of the things that a home health aide does for us on a day-to-day basis at Minute Women?
Well, personal care tends to be things, as we all know, bathing, which can be showering, can be a sponge bath, can be just assisting someone who may be physically sort of independent, but because of dementia, they need cueing. They need to be reminded of each of these steps that they have to do. But part of their training is very much safety awareness and making sure that the person has what they need and that they don't put themselves in a position to slip and fall. Or in the case of someone falling, they know how to do the most appropriate thing to ease someone to the floor. And also dressing. And they learn things about if someone has a weak side because they've had a stroke, they know what order to help someone dress. If someone needs to wear certain stockings for circulation, those things are a bear, and there are tricks to making that work.
Absolutely.
And we go through those kinds of things.
Yeah, so there's definitely a level of training that comes with being a home health aide. Now, you know, this is slowly working its way out because of the population is aging. We certainly still have a few home health aides that we treat as home health aides that don't have the certificate because they've been doing it so long. They're grandfathered in as far as we're concerned, and they get obviously great reviews. But the vast majority of newcomers to this industry, and by newcomers, I mean people that are 50 and under, have their certified home health aide. And additionally, you know, to go back to companions a little bit, you know, you'll find that even certified home health aides, as they get older, don't want to deal with the transfers anymore. They don't want to deal with the adjusting people in a bed. Their back maybe isn't as strong as it was, or they can't get over because they're aging themselves, and then they could become more of a companion role than they do as a home health aide. So you're going to have home health aides almost guaranteed when it comes to private home care industries. Mm-hmm. So then the third type of in-home help that you can get is a CNA. And a CNA is a certified nursing assistant. And we do have CNAs that work here at Minute Women as well. So if you are a CNA, you can not only work in a medical facility or an assisted living, but you can also work in private home care as well because the training overlaps. And that's why I was confused why home health aides aren't allowed in assisted livings, because assisted livings are a non-medical model. So some of the things that a CNA is allowed to do, I don't believe that in an assisted living they would allow them to do that. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it does get very gray. And I like to differentiate the two in that a CNA is something that someone gets certified for a certain period of time, and then they need to get that renewed. So if you're dealing with a facility or whatever, they have a means of monitoring the training and the tracking and that type of thing. There's a health aid registry where people could monitor those things. Home health aides used to be in the nurse's aid registry, and now things have changed, so it's not. It's the CNAs and whatnot. But the CNAs, they tend to work in more supervised environments. The
Absolutely.
Home health aides are the ones you find in the home. And even under the Medicaid or Medicare umbrella of visiting nurses, they have home health aides.
Yep.
And they're being supervised on a regular basis and training. But the CNA, it's really a matter of, I think, that license. But the what they call the scope of practice, what they can do, is really very similar.
It is similar. And where the big differentiation comes is when you're dealing with more medical-related tasks. And these medical-related tasks are closely supervised by a nurse, meaning a nurse is on site. There's always a nurse on the shift that they can come to. So, for example, you might even have a CNA taking vital signs. You might have a CNA maybe changing their dressings, changing or cleaning catheters, trying to help control infections. These general tasks that you and I can very easily do for a loved one, because of insurance and liability reasons, you need to have a certified nurse who's overseen by an RN or an LPN to do these tasks properly. So if something does go wrong, you do have a medical professional there that can come in quickly and adjust whatever needs to be adjusted. Well, a home health aide could be in somebody's home for weeks or even a month at a time in some cases, or maybe indefinitely depending on the agency, and never have a nurse or somebody come out and visit and see how things are going. You know, sometimes some home health aides might only check in on clients via a phone call. So you don't have you are not mandated, I guess I should say, to have a specific amount of supervisory visits when it comes to home health aides, which is why they can't be doing anything that is close to medically related, because if they are and something goes wrong, who's going to find out about it?
Yeah,
that's the big difference and difficulty with having a CNA with a home health aide. So if you're looking for in-home care from a private agency, you're going to get a home health aide, because the CNAs aren't, even if you get a CNA in there, they're not going to be allowed to do the things a CNA could normally do while they're at a nursing home, because there are no medical related tasks that a private agency is going to be allowed to do for a client, including changing a dressing. If that needs to happen, you need a nurse to come out there, you need to go to an urgent care, or you need a family member to do it, because for liability and insurance reasons and because of credentials, not allowed to do it.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that I have always found interesting is people think that CNAs are a higher level of training, if you will. And a lot of it really overlaps, and it's that scope of practice follows what's known as the Nurses Practice Act, and they decide what aides can and cannot do. But one of the things that I find interesting is if you have someone that's been through a CNA program and they have worked in a nursing home, they have worked in an assisted living, and that's been their environment, they may not have the camping skills, as I like to call it, that home health aides do, because home health aides, by definition, they work in the home. And I try and explain to people that home care versus hospital or facility care is the difference between staying at the Marriott and going to a campground. And if you have an issue and you step out in the hall in a hospital or assisted living, you can ask for help. If you're in a home and you have a question, you step in the hall, you're in the hall.
Yeah.
So the mindset and the level of thought process sometimes is a good seasoned home health aide tends to be really good in terms of independent thinking. And I find that they can articulate oftentimes situations just because they're used to having to be by themselves more often than not, like in an assisted living.
Absolutely. And then the final type of in-home care that you can get is actually nursing care. And this is by far and away the most expensive type of in-home care you can get. But there are people that want it. And, you know, the nursing care, I don't know how I want to phrase this. The nurses can obviously do a lot more medical-related tasks than a CNA and a home health aide can do. How often those tasks come up in the home, I don't think occurs as often as maybe some people think, right? I think when people are hiring, and it doesn't happen often, and we don't offer it because it just doesn't happen enough, they want a nurse in their home around the clock or for 8 hours a day or whatever it is. They just feel more comfortable with somebody. They have the means to pay for it. I mean, you're talking, this is costing upwards to $100 per hour. So they have the means to pay for it, and they want the peace of mind that a actual nurse is sitting there with their loved one rather than somebody that is a home health aide that has gone through 75 hours of training versus an LPN or a registered nurse that has gone through quite a lot more training and has medical experience as well. Now, maybe somebody's out there is like, well, my situation, I had to have nursing care in my home because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm sure there are those situations that occur, but in the instances that I've heard about needing and wanting nursing in the home, it's more of a preference than it is a necessity. Mm-hmm. So that is another option that you do have with in-home help, is going, basically the Bentley route. And instead of buying the Honda or the Honda Accord, you're going for the Maserati and the Bentley and the Lamborghini, and you can get in-home help, which is comprises of nurses that are going to be coming in for the care that you need for however long in time that you need that. I mean, have you heard of those situations and seen those situations where nurses come in?
Yeah, and I think, and it's a struggle because, like you say, the cost is very high. But whether you're in home or even in an assisted living, for people that are diabetics that can't handle their own insulin,
yep.
People with certain feeding tubes, things like that. There are some things that they think going to an assisted living, they could do it. And we often get calls about someone that is at assisted living, but they need someone to do their insulin daily. Can they come out twice a day? Well, a caregiver cannot do that, a home health aide or a CNA.
Yeah.
And because it's not a medical model, the assisted living doesn't either. So it's a matter of needing a nurse to do that. So that's one of those quandaries that we live in.
And it is a quandary, but that also doesn't justify getting 12. Like the nurses that I've met that do that type of work within the home care, they treat the job just like a home health aide would, in the sense of they're looking for hours. They're not looking for onesie, twosie hours. They're looking for 8 and 12-hour shifts because they're doing this to keep the lights on, pay the rent, and save for retirement. This is their profession. And so when I've spoken with them, and both of them have been females, they've said, on the rare occasion we have to do nursing stuff, but 98% of the time we're doing what a home health aide could do. But this person, for whatever reason, wants a nurse in their home rather than a home health aide in their home, and they want that peace of mind that we have the medical experience to be able to handle different situations. But she's also admitted, it's like, if something comes up that's serious, I can't do it in the home anyways. We got to go to a medical facility anyways.
That's
we
right.
have to go to an emergency room, so, or a hospital, or wherever we would need to go, because I don't have the proper equipment to be able to do whatever it is that I need to do in those situations. So it was kind of a funny conversation to hear that. I was like, wow, that's a lot of money to spend for a very expensive home health aid. But, there are people out there that have that kind of money, and there are people that want to spend it, That's what America's for. You can spend your money any way you want.
There you go. And there are some people that basically want to run a hospital in their home.
Absolutely.
For some folks. And maybe it's a matter of monitoring breathing and all kinds of things. And I've gone into homes where there's the hospital bed in what used to be the den, and they've got pumps and tubes and oxygen and everything. And that kind of thing, the very fact that those things need to be monitored by someone that has the clinical expertise, you would need a nurse. You wouldn't want
I was just reading an article because I'm a big F1 guy. I like watching Formula One. And Michael Schumacher had a devastating injury it's got to be 10 years ago, maybe even more, where he was skiing up in the Alps. He was wearing a helmet. And I think he took a bad fall and he smacked his head on some rocks. And if the helmet hadn't been on, he would have passed away. And he's been in a they've been very private about what his situation is. But we can only assume that the more private you are about a medical situation, probably the worse that it is. You know, people don't want to hide the fact that they're doing great. You know, they
that's true.
So,
that is very true.
So it is assumed that Michael Schumacher, who he was basically the Tom Brady of Formula One racing. He set records and he was an all-star, a superstar. That he's bedridden basically, and he has limited functionality, not only physically but I believe mentally. I think he's basically very close to being in a vegetative state. Maybe he's somewhat conscious, but you know, there was clearly brain damage. There's clearly he's more than likely never going to recover, and they are paying £115,000 a week for around the clock care for him. They've said since his injury they've paid over £20 million in care, which I know I don't know the exact ratio, but dollars is even more. So you're probably talking like $22-23 million.
Yeah.
Or in around-the-clock care. So I can only imagine what kind of medical bed they have in there, what devices they have. Obviously, they have nursing staff in there. But I'm bringing it up because they basically have figured out, because he obviously is worth hundreds of millions of dollars or whatever he's worth, they've figured out a way to have basically a hospital room in his room. And in his house, a hospital room in his house, and they're willing to pay for it. And you know, by all means, he obviously never thought she was going to have to spend that money on such medical bills. But he's fortunate enough that she believes that they deserve the privacy, which they absolutely do.
Yep.
And she's going to keep him in the home as long as I think she possibly can. So
yeah, and you have situations like people with ALS.
Yeah.
You know, and ALS is such a tragic situation because a lot of times the person mentally, they know what's going on, but they have all kinds of other issues. And those things that need to be done to maintain the best they can for their quality of life, that's beyond the scope of a home health aide or a CNA.
Absolutely.
You know, so there's those kind, and then of course there's always people like you know, the Bushes. You know, they had all their people in the house when both Barbara and George with his Parkinson's and her with her issues, and they had round the clock nurses up in Kennebunkport.
Yeah.
Because their care is not something that could be managed just by home health aides.
Absolutely. So there are always going to be those certain situations, but I also think that, you know, the ones that we bring up are certainly one-off situations where you need that help, and to make a viable business out of it, there's got to be a certain percentage of people that just have the means and they want the nurses, regardless of whether they need actual nursing care versus whatever type of care they need. So anyways, those are the four different types of in-home help that you can get. So hopefully you're clear on the different kinds, and just it's companions, home health aides, CNAs, and nurses. So thank you, Janet, for your input, and thank you all very much for listening to the Caregiver's Toolbox, and we'll catch you on the next one.